Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
Well, are you ready?
Yes.
Take your Bibles. Hold them up. Let's make this profession of faith. Let's do it boldly, strongly. We want all the angels of heaven. We want all the demons in hell to know that we're serious about this. So take your Bible and say, this is my Bible. It's God's word to me. I am what it says I am. And I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, God will speak to me through this word by His Spirit. I'll understand it. I'll receive it. I'll believe it. I'll do it. And my life will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is so good. Acts 20:32 tells us, "Now, brethren, I commend you unto God, and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance."
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We have an inheritance.
Yeah.
That inheritance, in accordance with Hebrews chapter 6, "Brethren, I am persuaded of better things of you and the things that accompany salvation."
Amen.
Aren't you glad that there are things that accompany salvation?
Yeah.
There's things that go along with just getting to go to heaven when you die. Isn't that good news? And not all of that is going to take place in heaven. Much of that takes place right here, those things. We're talking about our inheritance and the things that accompany salvation. Some of those things, for example, might be healing. That would accompany salvation. Other things might be deliverance from anything that is afflicting us. Amen? Something else might be safety or protection. How many of you know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower? The righteous run to it and are safe. Amen? And then we have something called provision. Amen. Provision. The provision of God. Glory to God. That's part of our inheritance. And then, of course, we have increase. We have prosperity. We have abundance. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." He didn't just say have it abundantly, but have it more abundantly.
Amen.
And that word abundantly, were you to study it out and study out the original words used in the Greek, it means superior in quality, superabundant in quantity.
Yeah.
Jesus came so that we might have life that is superior in quality and superabundant in quantity. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
And then we see throughout the Word of God where with the blessing of the Lord, when it got on folks, there was an overflow.
Yeah.
There was just an abundance of everything that was needed in every area of their life, and it didn't matter what they needed. There was an abundance and an overflow. And yet, unfortunately, for some reason or another, two things have happened. One, this subject has been just of great controversy in the church. There is a whole lot of folks who just don't believe that God wants us to live the abundant, overflowing life on planet Earth. I don't know how it got there. I don't know why folks are gullible enough to swallow it, especially the same folks who pray things like, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven." Well, now they'll pray a prayer like that saying, "Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," but then they don't want what is going on in heaven to happen here on earth. They want to argue about it. That always seemed kind of foolish to me. And so we have the situation where we got some folks that are not believing it, and then we got other folks who, even though they believe it, don't have the slightest clue how to walk in it. And that's the majority of the people of God. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about me as a pastor in the pulpit or you as a person in the pew. The average individual in the body of Christ doesn't know how to walk in this. How to walk in the provision of God consistently, successfully. Doesn't mean that there aren't some sporadic little miracles that show up in their life. so that they're rescued once again because they live from crisis to crisis instead of faith to faith. But I'm talking about consistently. Consistently walking in the provision of God that He promised us. We can't even talk about increase, because if you can't walk in provision, you're certainly not going to walk in the increase. But you know, there's a whole lot of folks who are trying to get to two without getting to one, right? They want to walk in the superabundant, overflowing abundance of God, but they don't even know how to walk in the provision enough just to get the rent paid. That's kind of foolish. And so that's why we're talking about it. I used to be one of those individuals. My wife and I, we were faithful givers. We were faithful in our finances, faithful to honor God, putting God first the way God says to do. We still ended up on the verge of bankruptcy. We still ended up so far in debt that there was no natural means to come out of it. And I know a whole lot of folks in that same place. And whether or not they may not necessarily be in the place that we were, and that was behind on everything and unable to pay our bills, still the average Christian is unable to really buy anything that has any substantial price tag on it without having to charge it, finance it, go into debt, in other words. That's not what God had in mind for us. There are folks that will argue with that. And there are certainly circumstances where, for example, if you, for example, have electricity in your home, do you understand that when you get that electric bill, you owe money? Because you're in debt now to that electric bill. But you're paying it off, and the electric bill, the electric company will only let you stay in debt for so long. If you don't pay that bill, they just shut off your electricity. That's all. Same thing with gas companies and things like that. There are certain things to where you really can't get away with it, and that's all right, because you're not really in debt, provided you're paying that. But it's one thing to, you know, for example, to pay for a service every 30 days. It's another thing to find yourself indebted to something for the next 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. You know, the average credit card, by the way, so if you just pay that minimum payment, do you have any idea how long it's going to take you to pay that off? About 18 years. You got more than that, it's going to take you 30 years. Well, that's not God. That's not the abundant life. No, it's not. But praise God that we have a better way. He has a better way that He's laid out for us. I'd like to show you something if I can. I want to pick up from where we left off last week. Last week we started talking about the provision of God, and we looked at Elijah. Remember, we talked about Elijah, where there was a famine going on. And the Lord led Elijah to a cave. And yet the Lord provided him with having the birds, the ravens, feed him. Brought him flesh in the morning and bread, and flesh and bread in the evening, so that he was well fed, and he had the brook to drink out of. And God provided for him every day. Say every day. Every day. Now, Elijah wasn't storing up. He wasn't making jerky or anything like that and putting a supply in the back. He was just eating every day. Amen. And there was a point behind that. I want to continue on a little bit farther, if you will. But before we do, I want to show you something, if I can. If you would turn over to the book of Luke. Luke 15. We're going to look at a very familiar parable, which just happens to be referred to very often as the parable of the prodigal son. Interestingly enough, this parable has been so misunderstood because it's really not about the prodigal son. It's really about the love of the father. That's really what it's about. But I want to look at this parable because there are some hidden things in there, some real good gems in there. Hallelujah. And God is so good. Praise God. Did I tell you Luke 15? Luke chapter 15. Praise God. I want to read this whole parable. And starting in Luke chapter 15 in verse 11, it says this: A certain man had two sons. And the younger son said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And so the father divided unto them his living or their inheritance. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, this right here, just so you know, I'm going to stop for a second. This right here is a perfect example of how God gives the provision, allows an individual access to their inheritance, and it's wasted. And then they end up in lack because they wasted their inheritance. You understand that we can do that. We can waste the provision that God gives us and end up in lack if we're not wise stewards. Say, good teaching, Pastor.
Good teaching, Pastor.
Amen. And verse 14 says, and so when he had spent all of it, and there's a whole lot of folks that spend all of it, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Well, of course he was. He spent everything. He used up all his inheritance. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. Now, let me just say something to you. This is a Hebrew individual. This is as low as you can get. You can't get any lower than this because the pigs are unclean. Okay? And look what it says in verse 16. It says, and he would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, but no man gave him any. In other words, he's ready. He's so poor, he's in such bad shape for his poor stewardship that he's ready he doesn't even get to eat the pigs. He gets to eat what the pigs are eating, but he can't even get that. And I like verse 17. It says, so when he came to his right mind. Yeah, there's some Christians that need to come to their right mind. And when he came to himself, he said, well, now how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I'm sitting here dying with hunger. I know what I'll do. I'll get up. I'll go to my father. And I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And I am no more worthy to be called you your son. So hire me as one of your servants. And so he arose. Now you understand there's some humility involved here. So he arose, went to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. You understand his father's looking for him. Amen. And had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm in no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. That's a ring of authority, you understand. And shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let's eat and be merry. Because this son, which was dead, is alive again. He was lost and now is found. And they began to be merry. Oh, what a great example of how God loves us. The Word of God tells us in James 1, it says that he gives to all men freely without finding fault. He that delivered up his own son for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Romans 8:32, amen? Say yes, sir. Yeah, it was Romans 8:32, just so you know. Okay. All right, praise God. But anyway, that's all well and good. But that's not what I wanted you to see. I wanted to look at the heir. See, the eldest son is the heir, not the younger. Most folks concentrate on the younger son. And he had an inheritance. He had a portion, but it was nothing compared to the eldest, to the heir. So I want to look at this, at the heir now for a moment, if we can. Look at verse 25. Now, the man's elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked, what's going on? And the servant said to him, your brother's come home. And your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back again safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. And so he came to his father and began to entreat him and said to his father, all these years I have served you, nor have I transgressed at any time anything you asked me to do. And yet you never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. You know, there's a whole lot of Christians out there right now. They're wondering why God never gave them this or gave them that. I mean, where's mine? I serve you. I'm your child. Now see, I got mad at God. I don't mind telling you. I've been keeping your word. I've been doing what you tell me to do. I've been giving the way I'm supposed to. I've been honoring you with my finances. I've been giving you the first. I've been doing this. I've been serving in church. I've been doing all these things. Where is my provision? Where's mine? I see these other folks out there, and they're doing fine. Or so I thought. But I'm not. What's going on here? Where is mine? And I was angry. Look what the Father says. He said unto him, Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. Stop a moment and think about what the Father is saying. Now, here's the Son. He is all upset. Listen, I do everything you tell me to do. I'm serving you. I'm your son. I'm the heir. Good Lord, I'm the heir. This one here goes off, spends his inheritance on riotous living and everything else. He's gone. I'm staying here. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm working. I'm serving you. I'm serving in the church. I'm in ministry. I'm doing this. I'm taking care of my family. I'm giving them. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. And then this guy comes back, which has devoured his inheritance with harlots. And you kill for him the fatted calf. I've been here the whole time. Well, you're always with me. And everything that I have is yours. There's a lesson here. The problem with the heir was that he didn't know he had access to that the whole time. He had access to everything the Father had the whole time. The Father hadn't denied him anything. He gave the Son what was his, rightfully his. Why wouldn't he give it to the rightful heir? But the Son, the eldest, he didn't know it. He didn't understand it. Now, he's so busy doing what he's doing and thinking what he's thinking that he can't even see the blessing and the inheritance that's right in front of him the whole time. He had access to it the whole time. That's why the Father just said to him and said, Son, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. Well, if we could just get the body of Christ to understand this. This is a picture of the Father. This is a parable that not only explains the love of the Father for the lost, but the relationship that we have with Him as we come into His household as a son. As an heir of God, and as a joint heir with Christ. Everything that the Father has belongs to us. And we have access to it whenever. Whenever. Here's this son trying to get his father. Why didn't you kill for me the fatted calf? Why didn't you do that? All you had to do was take it. All you had to do was just go ahead. I never kept it from you. It's been here the whole time. But he's so busy trying to figure out why didn't his father do this for him. There the whole time. Don't you know this? You're the heir. See, the eldest son is the heir. Don't you know this? You're the heir. This is yours. Well, the problem was he didn't. I said the problem was he didn't. The problem with most folks today, they don't know either. I said, they don't know either, because if they did, they'd be using it. Because if they did, they'd be using it. Jesus died so that we would have an inheritance. You understand that when someone dies, there's something called the last will and testament? The reason why we have a new testament is because Jesus died. This is his will and testament. To us, to the church. It belongs to us. Whatever is God's belongs to us because God gave it to Christ. And when he gave it to Christ, as we became part of the body of Christ, it became ours. That's why the Word of God calls us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. It belongs to us. But you see, folks have this false sense of humility. They think that it's proud or arrogant to think that way. Why would it be proud or arrogant to think of ourselves other than the way God thinks of us? Why would it be proud and arrogant to think of ourselves or speak of ourselves as God speaks of us? If God says it's ours, then it's ours. Doesn't the Word of God say, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly? Doesn't the Word of God say, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and He has no sorrow with it? Doesn't the Word of God say, my God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Doesn't the Word of God tell us that He is able to make all grace abound towards us so that we always have an all sufficiency and all things may abound to every good work? Doesn't the Word of God tell us this and tell us that and tell us? And there's about another 2,000 scriptures that I could run off for you that say pretty much the same thing. But folks have a hard time. Oh, I don't want to say that about myself, God forbid. Well, if God said it, then God said it. But yet at the same time, listen, I don't have a clue on how to walk in this thing called provision, but I sure do want to walk in this thing called abundance. You understand, abundance comes after the provision. And so we need to understand that, first of all, the provision and the abundance is there. But we need to know how to operate in these things. And the best thing to do is for us to, again, to look in the Word of God. Amen? We looked at Elijah. We saw how Elijah was well provided for. All of his needs were taken care of by the Father. He was in a bad shape. The land was in a terrible famine. People were starving to death. Listen, people were dying. Do you understand that? People were dying. And the only way for him to survive was to have a provision that would come from God. And so God told him where to go, told him what to do, and then made sure that he got it. We can look at that. The Word of God tells us that these things are written for our learning. The Word of God tells us that these things are written to us for our learning and for comfort. So we're supposed to be able to look at these things that were written aforetime and learn some things from them. And to be comforted. In other words, when we get anxious about it, we can find some comfort in the fact that, well, look it, God took care of this, God took care of that, God did this, God handled that. We should be able to find some comfort in that and some peace and know that if God did it for them, He'll do it for me too. Amen. Let's look at another example. Can we do that? Would you go to the book of Exodus, chapter 16? And there's just so many that we could look at. When you get to Exodus chapter 16, put a marker there, just something to hold your place, and then turn forward to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to look at provision, and we're going to look at abundance. I want to look at two separate things, but they both are dealing with the same group of people. So I want you to look at Exodus chapter 16, and then go to Deuteronomy. If you want, you can turn back a few pages to Deuteronomy chapter 1. You don't have to. I'm going to read a few scriptures out of there before we get to chapter 8. But basically, here's what's happening. Israel has spent the last four decades living in a land where there is nothing except the day-to-day provision of God. Nobody's built houses, garages, barns. There's no fields, there's no vineyards, there's no fruit trees. They're living in a desert. How many of you know that not much happens in the desert, except for that it gets real hot in the day and real cold at night? There's not much of anything there. And yet they're being provided for on a daily basis by God. But now they're coming into a place to where they are getting ready to move into what God has said or called as the promised land. They're getting ready to cross the Jordan River and enter into a place of just absolute abundance. It's nothing like what they've been experiencing for the last four decades. Now they're getting ready to move into a place that is just amazing. And so Moses is recounting some things that they've been through and how they got there and so forth. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, He's recounting to them, and he says this. It says, "And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them." Verse 6 says, "The Lord God, our God, spoke unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount." You've been here long enough. Aren't you glad when God said that to you? Amen. You've been here long enough.
Yes.
Praise God. Then he says, "Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them." And then in chapter 2, verse 7, he says this, "For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the works of your hand. He knows you're walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord has been with you, and you have lacked nothing." So they've been living in this wilderness for 40 years, and they've lacked nothing because the Lord was with them. We'll get back to that in a minute. Hello, friends. This is Reverend Slide Moran, and I hope that you've enjoyed the message so far. We'll return to it in just a moment, but before we do, did you know that it's because of the generous offerings from folks just like you that enables us to provide these messages to you and to others all throughout the world for free? Friend, I know that you love God and that you're seeking, just as we are, to spread the gospel. So won't you consider helping us as we continue to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the earth? No offering is too small, and every dollar helps us to reach more and more people. So whether you wish to become a regular partner or just a one-time love offering, I want you to know that every single dollar helps. No amount is too small. You can send your offering online by visiting our partner page. Just go to www.BibleCities.com and click the donate button. You can even send your love offering by mail to Bible Cities Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 40, Gettysville, New York, 14068 in the USA. Our mailing address can also be found in the BibleCities.com partner section. Just click the link that says donate by check or money order. Thank you for your love and your generosity, and may God richly reward you for your faithful obedience. Now, let's get back to the message. So they've been living in this wilderness for 40 years, and they've lacked nothing because the Lord was with them. But I want to show you a picture of where they're getting to. First, I wanted you to see that they've been wandering for 40 years and they've lacked nothing, though they've been living in the desert, in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing because God provided for them. Because God provided for them. We are supposed to look at this and learn from this and be comforted by this. But you know, the average Christian has very little confidence in God's ability to provide for them. This is why they have come up with so many alternatives to supplement that which God apparently is unable to do. Now, maybe I'll just work some overtime. Because, you know, we're going to need this and we're going to need that. Praise God. It's good to work. The Word of God says, you know, let him that stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands the thing that is good. There are certain benefits to working. Amen? And we don't want to be lazy. We want to work. But we want to make sure, number one, that we're doing the work that the Lord called us to. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that whatever we're doing, it doesn't become our source and our supply. And unfortunately, that's exactly what's happened to the body of Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about their job. Doesn't matter whether you're talking about their government entitlements, whether it could be anything from their Social Security check to their unemployment check, food stamps, whatever it is. Many ministers have made the tithes and offerings of their church or the offerings that come from their partners their source and their supply. These things have become their supply. They become their source. And they're not able to walk in the provision of God. And then you never will be able to walk in the provision of God when these things are your supply. I'm not saying that any of these things are bad or ungodly. I'm just saying they're not supposed to be our God. Anything that we put as our God before God becomes our God. Now, are you over in Deuteronomy chapter 8? Moses is continuing his dissertation and exhortation to the people. Verse 1 says, "All the commandments which I command you this day you shall observe and do, so that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you'll remember the way which the Lord led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to prove you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And so he humbled you. But he fed you with manna, which you did not know, neither did your fathers know, so that he would make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord God. And so your clothes did not wax old upon you, neither did your foot swell these 40 years." Look at the state of this nation, and there's over a million of them. "You shall also consider in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God has chastened you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God..." Now look at what's happening here. He said to him, "You've dwelt in that wilderness long enough. You've learned what you needed to learn. I've proved you. I've tested you. Find out whether you would obey me or not. Whether you'd learn what you were supposed to learn." See, because their fathers didn't. A whole generation ended up as corpses in the desert because they wouldn't follow and learn from God. So they died. They had the same opportunity to enter into this land as this generation that we're talking about. But that one didn't, because they didn't learn what they were supposed to learn. So they died in the wilderness. And that's exactly what happens to a lot of Christians today. They die in their lack and in their want because they don't know how to learn. They won't receive. They won't be taught. They won't learn to trust and rely on God for the provision that God has just told us he gave to those Israelites for 40 years. Over a million people living in the desert, and they were taken care of every day. So much so that their clothes didn't even wear out. Their feet didn't swell. They lacked nothing. And so he says this, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills." You understand, after you've been living in the desert, this is paradise. "A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat bread without scarceness, you will not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you may dig brass." You understand, we're not talking about just getting your daily needs met here now. Now we're talking about superabundant, overflowing provision and increase of God. I want you to see the difference here. And he says this, "And so when you've eaten and you're full, then you'll bless the Lord for the good land that he's given to you, and beware that you don't forget the Lord in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, what I command you this day, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses," you notice that it says houses, plural, "and dwelled in them, and when your herds and your flocks are multiplied and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied." You understand, we're not just talking about provision now. You understand that? We're not just talking about provision. We're talking about wealth. We're talking about the wealth that comes from serving God. Oh, it's that dirty word that those charismatic Christians teach. It's called prosperity. We're talking about prosperity now. And look what God says. He says, "Beware lest your heart be lifted up and you forget. It's the Lord which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness where there were fiery snakes and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, but who brought forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove you to do you good in the latter end. And you say in your heart, it's by my power and my hand that has gotten me this wealth. God calls it wealth. God calls it a land of wealth. Not just day-to-day provision, but wealth. And you will remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. Well, there's that word again. Wealth. So that he can establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, and as it is to this day. Now, you notice, there's a great deal of difference between being in the wilderness and being in this land of wealth. Which one would you rather be in? Let me ask you this one. Which one do you feel more comfortable in? Be honest. I'm more comfortable in the land where there is brooks and streams and water and fig trees and pomegranates and milk and honey and iron and brass. Why? Why are you more comfortable there? You've been fed. You've been taken care of in the wilderness, right? Most Christians don't know how to live in the wilderness. Most Christians haven't learned to live in the wilderness. But you know, I want you to notice something, if you would. And that is, they spent 40 years in the wilderness learning something before they were ready to step into this. It took a whole generation to die out, so they could get that old kind of thinking out of the way, so that this generation who was being taught to trust God would be able to step into the promise. And they had to learn that before they could step into this. They had to learn how to walk in the day-to-day provision of God before they were able to step into this. Because God says, here's what's going to happen. If you're not careful, you'll forget that I'm the one that provided for you. You'll forget this. Be careful that you don't forget this. Because I'm bringing you into a place where you're going to be tempted to forget it. And folks have a tendency to forget. I said folks have a tendency to forget. The reason why is because they never really learned it to begin with. Do you understand this? Let's turn backwards now, if you would. We'll go back to Exodus 16. Let's look and see what God says about it. Are you learning anything from this? Yeah. Seeing some things? Okay, just want to make sure. We're going to look at Exodus 16, and there's some things in here that are keys to walking in the provision of God. Principles that we must learn. But yet the body of Christ has failed to learn for the most part. In Exodus chapter 16, now there's much that we could read, but we're just going to read the key points. You can read this whole chapter for yourself, underline and highlight anything that you like. But I want to read some key points here, if you would. In Exodus chapter 16, starting with verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them to see whether they trust me and whether they will follow my directions. Now notice what's going to happen here. They're in the wilderness. There's over 1 million people. They're in the desert. There is no food. Not enough to feed 1 million folk. But God says, that's all right. I'm going to rain down bread from heaven for you. And I'm going to give you enough each day for that day. And the reason why I'm going to do it this way is to test you, to see whether you trust me. And whether you'll follow my instructions. And on the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much that they gather on the other days. Verse 14. And so in the morning when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. And when the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need." How much are they supposed to gather? They are supposed to gather as much as they need. How much are they supposed to gather? They're supposed to gather as much as they need. How much are they supposed to gather? As much as they need. Now, your Bible might say another translation, but you understand, you might want to underline that. You're just supposed to get as much as you need for that day. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. And so the Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone gathered as much as they needed. Well, they're off to a good start. Would you agree? Verse 19, then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." In other words, don't store it up. Why? Because God has already told him why. "In this way, I'm going to test you to see whether you trust me and whether you will follow my instructions." That's why. We read that, didn't we? In verse 5 or verse 4. However, in verse 20, some of them paid no attention to Moses. In other words, they didn't pay attention to God's instructions. And so they kept part of it until morning. Why do you suppose they would keep part of it until morning? Because they didn't trust God. That's why. They're going to store up. Listen, I need to have a little bit more. I really prefer to have more than I need so I don't have to trust you. Or just in case you don't come through, I've got this. But now, see, this is the average Christian today, too. God has given us specific instructions. The Lord has given us specific instructions. Remember I gave you as homework Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 12 to read as homework? And Jesus gave us some specific instructions in there about our day-to-day provision, about how to see it, about how to walk in it. But the average Christian, number one, doesn't know the instructions, and number two, even though he knows them and has read them and has been taught them and has the CDs and the books on them, still doesn't follow the instructions. And yet they want to enter into the promised land. They want to cross the Jordan and move over into that land of abundance. But God said in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he said, "I led you in the wilderness to test you, to see what was in your heart. I wanted to see if you were ready for this." And here he says, "I'm doing it this way. I'm going to do it this way to test you, to see whether you trust me or not. To see whether you're going to follow my instructions." Amen. Well, now, you see, if you were to read Deuteronomy chapter 28, which folks like to claim for themselves, well, glory to God, you know, I'll be set high above all nations. I'll be blessed in my basket and blessed in my storehouse. I'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. I'll be blessed when I come in and blessed when I go out, blessed when I rise and blessed when I lie down. I'll be blessed in everything I put my hand to. They to all the blessings, but they forget the first couple of verses that says, listen, if you are careful to listen diligently and observe to do all that I command you to do, then all these blessings will come upon you. In other words, follow the instructions. So here's the Lord saying, listen, I'm about ready to test you and see whether you're going to follow the instructions and see whether you're going to trust me. Don't keep any of it. Just gather enough for the day. What is he testing them on? What is he trying to teach them? Day-to-day provision. Day-to-day. Today. Just today. Is God going to take care of me and meet my needs today? But see, folks are so focused on, well, what about tomorrow? Maybe we better set a little bit of it aside. Maybe we better hold some of this back. The Word of God says there is he that withholds more than he should, and the result of that is poverty, lack. That's why so many folks are having such a hard time walking both in the provision or the increase of God, because they're holding back what they should not hold back. Because it tends to poverty. That's what the Word of God tells us. No one is to keep any of it in mourning. However, verse 20, some of them paid no attention. And they kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses, and he said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath unto the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left in this instance and keep it till morning." Because it's a Sabbath rest, you understand. So they saved it until morning, verse 24, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Why? Because they're doing what God told them to do the way God told them to do it. But then look what he says. He said, eat it when? Today. Don't save it till tomorrow. Eat it today. Because today is the Sabbath to the Lord. And there will not be any. Nevertheless, say nevertheless. Some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they didn't find any. Nevertheless, folks went out, and there are folks that go out looking for it. And why are they coming looking for it? Number one, because they either ate what they shouldn't have eaten, spent what they shouldn't have spent, did what they shouldn't have done, or number two, because they don't trust God. They don't follow the instructions. They went out to gather it on the seventh day, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions?" You know, and that's what God is saying to his people today. How long, church? I've got the provision for you. As a matter of fact, I've got a land of abundance. But before I can get you into that land, you got to go through this. I've got to see whether or not you're going to trust me. We have to learn to trust God. See, because if we won't trust him in the wilderness, we're certainly not going to trust him in the land of plenty. The Word of God tells us that he did this to the folks and taught them this for their good. Jeremiah 12:5 says what? If you run with the footmen and they've wearied you, how are you going to run with the chariots? If we can't walk in the wilderness and just believe God for day-to-day provision, how are we going to believe God for more than day-to-day provision? If we can't believe God for enough, how are we going to believe God for more than enough? And see, Israel is learning how to believe God for enough. That's what's going on here. He's teaching them how to trust him for enough before he brings them to the place where there's more than enough. He's going to bring them to the place. They're going to get into it, but not until they learn the enough. And what happened with the folks that didn't learn it? They died in the wilderness. What happened to the folks that didn't learn it? They died in the wilderness. What happened to the folks who didn't learn it? They died never experiencing the abundance of God. They never saw it. They never got to it. Because they didn't learn what they were supposed to learn. That's why God says, "Well, how long are you going to refuse to follow my instructions?" Well, I think this is awesome. Before Israel could enter into the promised land of superabundant overflow that we saw in Deuteronomy when we read chapter 8, they had to learn to trust God daily. 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 But see, folks, what do folks want to do? They want to store up, don't they? Folks want a cushion. Folks want a safety cushion. They don't feel comfortable if they don't have a little nest egg, a safety net, something they can fall back on. In other words, they want to store up their supply of manna just in case God doesn't come through. Why? Well, we talked about why. See, because if they've got a little nest egg, well, then they don't have to use their faith daily to trust God for their supply because they got a little nest egg. After all, just using my faith every day for provision of God, it just wears me out. No, it shouldn't. I'm supposed to learn something. They've either never learned how to do this, or they just prefer not to, because it's easier. I'd really rather win the lottery and never have to trust God again. Seriously. That's where a lot of folks are. I'd just really rather have a job that just pays me so much money, I never really have to trust God or anybody else for anything ever again. Never have to use my faith again. Well, you'll never get there. Listen, God wants to bless your job and bless you on your job and bless your business and bless your finances and bless the work of your hands. He wants to bless everything you put your hand to, everything you do, everything you touch, every area of your life and ministry. But he wants us to remember that it's him. And we have to learn how to trust God. Now, let me just say this to you. I've related to you the experience many times before of how my wife and I found ourselves, despite our faithful giving, our endeavors to faithfully honor God with our finances, we found ourselves in a place, yet still, that we were in a place of just crushing debt. And we could not pay our bills. We were a couple months behind. My wife would go to sleep crying over the deal. I'd go to sleep sick and wake up in the middle of the night with my stomach all sick and everything because I knew that we have a stack of bills that we can't pay. I knew that if we weren't going to be getting phone calls from the bill collectors, we were going to have them knocking at the front door with subpoenas to go to court to sue us. And we had that happen too. I know what it's like to be in that place as a minister, as a Christian who believes in the supernatural provision of God. But we weren't walking in it and didn't know how. But we were confessing and professing debt cancellation. And we were confessing that God meets all of our needs. And we were confessing increase and that all our bills were paid. But the truth is that our bills were not paid. Our debts were not being canceled. And we were not walking in the provision and the supply of God to any real degree, period. Matter of fact, we were right on the verge of filing bankruptcy. And the only reason we didn't is because God stepped in and said, don't. I've got a way out, but that's not it. If you want to trust me. And so my wife and I, we got together and we sat down and we prayed. Repented of our poor stewardship, first of all. Because the Word of God tells us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and repent, turn from their wicked ways. Well, you understand, wickedness is unbelief. It's not doing what God said to do. We had been poor stewards. We had put all of our trust in our abilities to earn dollars. I had a business. She was successful in what she was doing. All of my faith was my ability to make a lot of money. Well, I found out what happens when my abilities fail. And then there's nothing left if you don't know how to trust God. Now, I thought I was trusting God, but the truth is I wasn't, but I didn't know it. And so we talked to God and we repented. And then we did a phenomenal thing, and I believe it was Spirit-led. We asked him to teach us what we didn't know. To teach us. Teach us what we don't know. Because obviously what we do know isn't working. So it's not the what we do know, it's what we don't know. And isn't that what God says in Hosea 4:6? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because they don't know what they're supposed to know. Amen. Well, now we saw the supernatural hand of God come right into the situation, and we got some immediate relief. Praise God. But then he began to teach us. But the thing that he began to teach us was far different from what I thought he was going to teach us. He began to teach us how to trust him daily. I didn't expect that. And I was really uncomfortable with that. I really preferred to see money in the bank. But we learned how to live with a zero balance. Did you hear what I said? It was like living in the desert. There was nothing stored up. There wasn't enough for tomorrow. And we lived that way for a few years. But every day, our bills got paid on time. There was food. There was clothing. There was gas in the car. We weren't behind. We weren't getting calls. We weren't getting sued. We were learning how to trust God every day. And we had to trust God every day. We even had to trust God for our offerings. Because we got so used to living with a zero balance that it always looked like, or very seldom did it look like, we actually had anything to give. And yet the Word of God says, He ministers seed to the sower. We had to use our faith for the seed to sow. For a future harvest, for increase, you understand. But we got real comfortable living with a zero balance. I never thought I would be able to say that. But it doesn't matter to me now whether I have a lot of money or no money. That has nothing to do with anything. And until you get to that place, you're not really in the place where you've learned to trust God daily. Because it should not matter to you whether you have $0 or a wallet stuffed with money. Not if God is your supply. Because God is your supply. And we're told not to put our trust in uncertain riches. We're told in the Word of God not to make any provision for the flesh. Right? And yet, the average Christian puts their faith and their trust in riches. In other words, having that money. And most of them are making provision for the flesh. Constantly storing up for the flesh. Well, you know, we got to pay our rent. Listen, there is a time to store up. There is a time for that. But we're never to put our trust in that. See, if we're putting our trust in that, then we won't listen and hear when God says, I want you to take that and do this with it. And I'll make sure that that's replaced so that you have it. And I cannot tell you how many times that's exactly what happened. But we had to learn how to trust that. Because we asked the Lord, Lord, you tell us what to do because we don't know how to do it. We don't know how to walk in this stuff. And look what he said to Israel. I'm going to do it this way to test you. To see whether or not you trust me. And whether you'll do what I tell you to do. And isn't that what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, where he said, hey, listen, if you're careful to observe and to do everything I tell you to do today. See, folks, when they're living with a zero balance, or let's just say they have just enough to meet what these the bills that have to be paid, and they look at that, they're not willing to take that and do this with it because, well, we've got this coming up tomorrow. But God said, if you want these blessings to come upon you and overtake you, you better do what I tell you to do, and you better do it today. But most folks want to wait until they, quote, have enough. I'll do that when I have enough. You understand, I get paid next week. Let me tell you this. I lived down the street after I left home at a very, very young age, and I spent a couple years on the street. I know what it's like to go without food for several days, without eating. Most folks in this country don't. But I know what it's like to go hungry. I know what it's like to have no place to live. I remember one Christmas Eve, I spent in the doors of a department store just trying to stay warm because I had no place to go. And it was cold. So let me just tell you this. When somebody's hungry, they need food today. And when the Lord puts a move on you or prompts you or you see a need that needs to be met, guess when God wants you to meet it? Today. And that makes a whole lot of difference to that person. When that person needs finances and needs help today, they need it today. And they can't wait till you get paid next week. They need it today. And so folks suffer because of that. And then we lose out on the blessing because we didn't do what God told us to do today. Amen. And why? Why didn't we do it? Because we have never learned to trust Him daily to meet our needs. Daily. And you see, if we want to move into this land of promise, we better learn how to trust Him daily. Today. For today. That's why I had you read Matthew 6. Because Jesus said, take no thought of tomorrow. We're not even supposed to be thinking about tomorrow. Why? Because we got enough to deal with today, that's why. And our thinking about tomorrow will affect what we do today. And God wants us to do what we're supposed to do today, not tomorrow. Tomorrow will come and He'll give us new words, right? New instructions. Amen? How many of you want to learn how to walk in that provision of God? How many of you want to walk in that provision of God? I mean, really walk in it. Well, let me just say this to you. It's not easy. Not on the flesh. It's not. Because we have to learn to trust. Look at these Israelites. Just go out and gather enough for today. Nevertheless, some went out and gathered more than they needed. Why did they do it? Because it's hard on the flesh. Because I don't know if I trust you to give me some more tomorrow. I want to make sure that just in case it doesn't come, I'll have enough for tomorrow. And that's how folks think about the money they have, about the finances they have, about the food that they have, about the provision that they have. Well, I don't know if I trust God. They won't say it out loud. But what's going on in the inside is, well, I really don't know if God's going to come through tomorrow. I've got this here today. And now you're telling me, and here's an opportunity. And have you ever been in that situation where you've got that, you know, and you see this need, and you know you can give it, but if you give it, you're not going to have enough next week. You just know you're not, right? My rent is coming up in like 8 days, and this is my rent money, and if I'm sorry, if I had it, and then you lie. If I had it, I'd give it. You liar. You have it. Why don't you just tell him, I have it, but I don't trust God enough to get it back to me, so I'm not going to give it to you. Why don't you just tell him the truth? At least you can avoid the lie part. Come on, let's be honest now. See, now I know because I've been there and I've done that. So I know, well, now if I had it, but I had it the whole time. Amen. And God knew I had it too. And it was my opportunity. Amen. You know, there are rewards for following God and trusting Him, and there are consequences for not. Amen. And there's been many times when I've just stuck my neck out since that time, especially when you're in ministry. You just have to do what God says to do, and we'll just write the check and just thought, we're just going to write the check. And you know, God comes through, and when He comes through, He comes through big time. There's been times when it was just, you know, the Lord said, do this, and I looked at it and said, now if I, in my mind said, now if I do that, I'm not going to have enough for this, 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 and this, if I do that. And your mind just wants to just say, you know, you don't want to do that. You want to use some, oh, here we go. You just got to use wisdom, you know. Got to use wisdom. Yeah, well, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, right? You just reference God, that if you want to use wisdom, do what God tells you to do. That's wise. And there's been times, and I just went ahead and did it anyway. And don't you know, God came through not only with that, but a whole lot more. Yeah. And it looked like, where's it going to come from? I don't know, but that's not up to me. It's up to God. God is the one that supplies our needs. Isn't that right? And if you want to walk in this provision of God, you're going to learn how to trust God daily. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Stop thinking about tomorrow. We'll talk more of that next time. But this has been good tonight, hasn't it? Looking and see how Israel, before they could enter into that land of abundance, had to learn how to walk in the wilderness believing God daily. Just trusting Him daily. Do you see some correlations maybe in your life? Yeah. Just learning how to trust God daily. Let me say this to you. Whoever trusts Him will never be ashamed. God will never let you down. Not ever. He will never let you down. Now, it may be hard when you begin to first do this. You understand you got to practice it to get good at it. And it may be hard at first because your mind and your flesh is just going to scream at you. And the devil and everybody else is just going to tell you how stupid you are and how dumb that is. I pay no attention. Amen. You do what God tells you to do. The way God tells you to do it. And when we do what God says to do, the way God says to do it, we will always have what God says we'll have when we do what God says to do. Amen? Amen? Now listen. He says this. I'm going to test you on this to see whether you trust me and see whether you'll follow my instructions. Let me just say this to you. God's going to test you to see whether you trust him and whether you'll follow his instructions. Now, let me just say this to you. You're going to have opportunities to trust him. By that I mean you aren't going to have any other option but to trust him. He's going to give you that opportunity because he wants to teach you what you need to know. He wants to teach you how to rely on him, not your job, not your Social Security, not your retirement, not your disability, not your food stamps, not your bonuses, not your commissions, not your overtime, not your family, not your friends, not your payday loan, not your credit cards, not your home equity loan, or anything else. He wants to teach you how to trust him. And he'll test you on it to see whether you trust him and whether you'll follow his instructions. Don't be surprised when you fail. And don't be discouraged. Because we failed. But we learned. Because we said, Lord, if we miss it, tell us when we missed it so we know. And then give us another chance. And if we miss it again, tell us that we missed it again so that we know we missed it, and then give us another chance. And if we miss it again, tell us so that we know we missed it, and then give us another chance. And let me tell you, that's exactly what happened. We'd miss it and he'd say, you missed it, but I'm going to give you another chance to trust me and see whether or not you'll follow my instructions. Okay, and then he'd give us another chance, and sometimes we'd miss it again, and he'd say, you missed it. But that's all right. I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to test you to see if you'll trust me and if you'll follow my instructions. Now, you see, if you're serious about that, he'll do that. He'll tell you when you missed it. Just ask him, though. Make sure you ask him, tell me. Matter of fact, let's take that. If you're seriously interested in it, let's just close our eyes. If you're serious about this. If you're not, don't bother, because he knows. But if you really want to learn how to walk in this stuff, take a moment and say, Father, I want you to teach me how to trust you daily so that I can walk in your supernatural provision where my faith and my trust is 100% on you. I know that you have provision for me. And I know that you want to bring me to that place of supernatural abundance. So I'm asking you with all my heart in the presence of all these people to teach me what I need to know. If I miss it, tell me. And then give me another chance. And if I miss it again, tell me again. And give me another chance. And if I keep on missing it, keep on telling me. I want to know when I miss it. I want to know how I missed it. I want to know where I missed it. And I want to know how to do it right. So keep helping me. Teach me. Show me. And help me to do it. And I covenant with you this day that I will learn. Don't give up. Don't stop. Even if I cry out to you and say it's too much, keep on, because I need to learn. I need to know. Test me so that you can find out if I'll trust you and follow your instructions. I want to do it. So I'm asking you. Now, you told me whatever I ask you, in Jesus' name, you'd give me. So I'm asking you, in Jesus' name. And you told me, when I stand praying, to believe I receive, and I'd have it. So I'm thanking you in advance. Thank you, Lord, for your provision, for your abundance, for your help, for your instruction. I give you praise and glory. And thanksgiving, no matter how hard it is, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Now you might want to praise him. All I can say is I've got a lot of compassion for you guys because we know what's ahead of you. You're going to want to keep these studies. You're going to want to keep these scriptures, and you're going to want to read them because they will build you up. They will help you. But you're going to want to keep a copy of this and listen to these and learn these to encourage yourself, because let me just say this to you. These are hard lessons, but they're worth it. Because we're not just talking about finances. When we talk about the provision of God, trusting Him daily, that could be something like your health.
That's right.
When I was having heart trouble and believing God for a supernatural manifestation of healing in my body for a heart, I had to trust Him just daily just to get through the day. Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about tomorrow. It was just, matter of fact, every night I had to trust Him to get up the stairs to get to bed. And that took all my faith and all my strength to do it, just to get up the stairs. Yeah. Amen. And then we'll worry about getting down the stairs in the morning. But God is good. Amen. Is this series helping you? I just want to make sure, praise God, if you listen carefully, you'll learn some things. Amen. We're talking from experience. So we know what it's like. Amen. Well, Father, we thank You. You're so good to us. We thank You for Your precious holy word. We thank You for the instruction. We thank You, Father God, for Your Holy Spirit that opens our eyes to see some things. We thank You for teaching us these things, Lord God. And so we can't help but give You all the credit and all the glory, because You're the only one that deserves it. So we thank You for it. Praising You in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you agree with that, you can say amen.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.